right, technical difficulties, I guess. And you guys want to do this all the time outside? No, I'm looking forward to going back inside. That way I can blame Mark for all the electronics problems that are going on in back. So, it's not working at all? Hold it closer to my mouth. All right. See how this goes. This feels weird. I've been watching the news this, last night, this morning, the last few days, what's going on. I really wanted to pause and just really give a prayer up. Our nation is really hurting. Among the coronavirus, what's going on, and with the riots that's going on, a lot of people are really hurting. And I wanted to take just a moment this morning to really pause and reflect. Because I think we're in the midst of it all. There's some bigger issues. And a big part of it, I believe, is that, this nation is just taking God out. And people don't have hope. And people are lost. And people are seeking peace and justice and hope. And we know all those things are found in Jesus Christ. And as we've taken them out of our society will crumble. And I think right now what we need is a revival, is people to turn their hearts back to God. For God is the King of Peace. He's the God of hope. He's the God that gives them all that they need. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to stop and we're just going to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pause this morning and just reflect on you. Lord, this nation, Lord, we're hurting. Lord, the virus, many are afraid. There's been many loss. A lot of people are scared. Lord, I think of our cities right now, Lord, with the riots that's going on. And those people are protesting. There are people who are hurting, who have a just cause. But, Lord, those are others who are seeking this as an opportunity for evil. Lord, I ask you to heal our land. I pray that we will turn to you, Lord, and seek you out. Call your people to yourself, Lord. Revive your church. Set us on fire. Help us to spread the gospel that Jesus saves, that you are the one who gives hope to this lost world, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you or a phone, we're going to be back in, we started before in 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to pick up in verses 3 and 4 this morning. And in here, I think it's a timely book. Because at Peter's time, the Christians were under great persecution. And they were scattered abroad. That in there, there was no place for them in that world. It was hard. And I think it reflects so many ways the Christian church is today. You look at what's going on, and my heart breaks, and sometimes I scratch my head to try to understand it all. Do you feel that way? Does it feel like it's just a different world? Yes? And I realize that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, that I'm just a sojourner. The Bible says we are aliens, just passing through. That I realized my hope isn't in this world, but my hope is in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned this morning, he is our hope for all these things. But reading at verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to just reveal your word to us, Lord. Lord, just speak through me, but Lord, let them be your words to encourage us Allow the Spirit within us, Lord, to prick our hearts, Lord, to be attentive, to draw away what we need to this morning, Lord, for your power and for your glory, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. The first thing in verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focus of it all. God, our Creator. God created you and me to have fellowship with him. He created this world a perfect place. A place without sin. And yet it's because of us that we have chosen to go our own way. That we have rebelled. That we have brought these things on. You know, the world stops and screams and says, you know, if there's a God, how can you let this happen? God didn't do this. We have done this. And God has allowed us that free will. And unfortunately, man has chosen against God time and time again. You know, just be glad I'm not God, because I would have given up a long time ago. Right? God has looked down with his mercy and with his grace upon us and has forgiven time and time again. Has given a chance and an opportunity time and time again. And we praise him as those of us who has been the elect, as he starts off in verse 1, right? The chosen ones of God, that we can turn around and worship him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not because I deserve it, but it's because he does. What a mighty God we serve. That he has chosen us. While we were dead in our sins, he saved us. Not only that, but here he's brought us into his redemption and brought us into his family. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father. Not only do we have a creator God who knows my name, but not only that, he brings me into his family. Think about that. That God, the creator of the universe, calls you his son and calls you his daughter. Adopted you. Chosen you. Years ago, we knew a family that had an adopted child. And the other kids were kind of mean to him. And they're kind of picking on him and say, well, you know, you're really not part of the family. And the child was in tears and went up to the mom, and the mom, you know, wrapped her arms and said, what's wrong? And the child went on to explain. He goes, look, they're picking on me. I'm not really part of the family. I'm not blood. And the mother kind of got a grin on her face, and she goes, let me tell you something. She goes, we had to have them. We chose you. I thought about what a wonderful blessing that is, that God chose us. And because of this, folks, we should praise him. We should live for him all through Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, verse 3 says, he has begotten us. Abundant mercy. Now, see, I'm not perfect like all you guys. I have messed up time and time again. I have stumbled across the way. And God, in his mercy, has brought me back. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's not just a matter of our point of salvation when we come to him, but that's working out this Christian life thing. Right? If anyone's involved in a relationship, you know it's hard. There's a lot of forgiveness that has to go on in relationships. Right? And God's mercies are new every morning, the scripture says. And he pours these things out to us, this never-ending mercy and abundance. He pours it out to us. And he has begotten us again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He gives us a new start. I don't have to be who I used to be. I can be more. All of this, praise God. In all of this, he is worthy of praise for what he has done for us. You know, he deserves praise just being for who he is. You know, if God didn't do anything for us, he's still worthy to be praised because he is God. But on top of that, the blessings and goodness of God is poured out on us time and time again. When we get ourselves in trouble is when we feel entitled to it. Because you know what? I don't deserve any of it. That's what mercy is. He goes on here, there's three things, right? If that wasn't enough, he gives us three things in 1 Peter. Three things that we can look at and point to even be more thankful for. The first one says to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. You know, watching the news and watching the fires, and I mean, my heart breaks seeing a police car is on fire. I've seen people put down. I don't know if you saw the video with the young man, with the police officer, with his knee on his neck. And this world needs a hope. With the world shut down with this coronavirus, and people are losing their jobs, and people, you know, have died. I mean, these are tragic times. And what hope does the world have? Right? Think about this. Just go home and stay there till we tell you it's okay to come out. That's the hope. The hope is that a vaccine may come up. The hope is that maybe this will die off in the summer. I don't know about you, but have any of you guys been really reinsured by all the politicians and all the smarty pants? You feel good? I'll tell you, my hope is in Christ. My hope is in him. And it's a living hope, because I don't hope in some fantasy dream. You know, like, I wish, I hope, I might, fingers crossed, hope to die. The hope we have is a living hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. It's in a person. That Jesus Christ, who is dead, who is buried, and rose again. That is the Christ we serve. That is the Christ who lives in us, who empowers us. A God who the grave cannot hold. That's the living hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Says, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. The spirit of him who rose from the dead lives in you. That's the power you have in God. That's the living hope you have. A God who comes and lives in you, and you can talk to him, who hears you, who is touched by your infirmities. He knows all these things. He is a mighty living God. I don't have a dead hope. I have a living hope because I serve a living Savior who's in the world today. I hope you have that living hope in Jesus Christ. In all of these things. Because let me tell you, the things of this world will fall short, as they have. The world doesn't have all the answers. Jesus does. And I think there's a lot of people now who are questioning, a lot of searching going on. And I think there's a lot of people who are looking for a hope, a living hope. And hopefully they'll see it in you and me. And we can use this to point people to Jesus. You know, I'm amazed that, you know, we record these things, we put them online, and you know, we have several hundred people who look at them. It's like, why? Because I think people are looking, people are searching, people are hungry, people are lost, people are scared. But we have a living hope. The second thing is into an inheritance, verse 4. says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, this world is not my final resting place. This isn't where I keep all my toys. They didn't hear. My hope and my treasure isn't in here, but it's the here to come. This world is just a stop, a way stop along the way to eternity. And I look forward to that day. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21 says, lay up not yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think this is where a lot of Christians have kind of stumbled along the way, that we've lost track that this world's not our home. We've kind of settled down. We've kind of moved in. We've kind of made ourselves comfortable. We've become just like the world. And when the world goes to pot, we go to pot too, because this is where all my stuff is. This is where all my hope is in. And Jesus tells us, look, don't lay up your treasures here on earth, but lay your treasures up in heaven. Ask yourself, what am I doing now that has eternal value? What am I doing now that has eternal value? You know, we are so caught up in the battle of this world. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Right? Like I said, I'm still getting used to this whole Facebook thing. But there is so much hate on there, political hate, that goes across all boards. And Christians are jumping in right in on that. Folks, we should be pointing people to the kingdom of God, to the eternal things. If I spend as much energy on spiritual things that I did on earthly things, I think my life would be changed. Where's my investments? Where's my time? Where's my energy? How much of this is wasted on things that aren't going to last? Because where my treasure is, that's where my heart is also. What's your heart's desire? Is it godly things? Is it what God wants, or is it me? Because let me tell you, if we put all our eggs in one basket of this world, we see how quickly that can go. There are people who have spent their whole life building a business, and it's gone. There's people who have saved and scraped. They have it wiped out in a moment. Don't get me wrong. We need money to get by. We need to be wise and prudent in this world. But the important things are in heaven. And that's where I'm going. Because heaven is so much better than here. I just really quick, I love this verse, Revelation chapter 21. It says, and God will wipe away every tear from your eye. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. For the former things have passed away. That sounds pretty good. You know, I was studying this up this week, and then when all the riots and everything breaking down, my heart just wanted to weep as I was watching, because these are people that don't have hope. And there's been struggles. And some of you have lived through these generational things. You know, I think of the 60s were violent times. And we're rehashing some of those things now, the battles. And it's like, oh, I thought we took care of this. Let me tell you, in this world, there will be tribulations. In this world, there will be troubles, because this world isn't the answer. That folks, as Christians, to turn our eyes upon heaven and what comes next. And what that does is help us endure the here and now. I remember I worked at Louisiana Pacific up in Houlton, Maine. And we worked 12-hour shifts. I hate, something about those last 2 hours. I'd be out there working and whatever, doing all 10 hours was fine. Those last 2 hours were just murder. And I remember time and time again, I'm tired, worn out by the night. And, we had various things going on, real physical kind of work. I know, looking at him, he doesn't look like it, but, I was a lot skinnier then. And I'd be just worn out. And I'm like, I can't make it. And all I could remember is one of my jobs, I had to go up and sweep up this one area. And walking by, there's a clock. And every time I walk by the clock, and I look, and I say, only 2 more hours. I can do this for 2 more hours. And a few more minutes would go by the clock again. An hour and 45 minutes. Okay, I can do this for an hour and 40, right? You can do anything for an hour and 45 minutes. Then you walk by again, and hour and 44 minutes. Oh, I was just here. I just want to give up. I wanted to quit. But, I could just hang on for that little bit longer. Until finally, those 2 hours go by. Hallelujah. Folks, there's some aspects of that in our lives. This world is just temporary. Some of you guys know, some of you guys have been around the block a few more times than me. The older I get, the faster it goes. You wonder, where did it all go? Where did the time go? I don't usually feel that old until all of a sudden I see a kid that I knew years ago. Right? I was up at a Christian camp last summer, and I had spoken there like 20 years ago. And this lady comes up to me. She goes, "Do you know who I am?" I'm like, "No, I don't know who you are." And she goes, "I was one of your campers." I was like, "Oh." And I was teaching like 10-year-olds, And all of a sudden she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "My kid is 10 years old now at your camp." And I told him, I said, "I had you as a teacher." And I was like, "Oh, man, I feel really old." Right? Where did it go? Folks, I want to encourage you. We have an inheritance. This is heaven. Where no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more goodbyes. You know what? I'm tired of saying goodbye to people. I'm tired of disappointment. None of that. That here we have a place in glory in store for us, and all we're told to do is just hang on. If I get my sights here and now, I'll just get worn out. If I just try to make it, just think, this year, whatever. I can burn myself out so quickly, but when the scope of eternity comes, right, I can lift my eyes above the fray, above the battle, above the hurt, and know that it's just for a little while. Then I'll be home. And we won't have to go through this anymore. Amen? All right. Just making sure you didn't fall asleep in your cars. Because I can't tell. You guys have all tinted windows. But folks, heaven is so much worth it. And the last point. Right? We have a living hope. We have an inheritance. And the last one. Verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept. I grew up in a pretty strict church growing up. And I always felt like I had to keep my Christian faith. I felt like it was up to me to do it. And that gets exhausting. To try to be perfect, to try to walk the line all the time and try to make sure you don't mess up. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever been around that? No? All right. That judging. You just had the right haircut. You had the right clothes. If you listen to the wrong music, all these things. And Man, what kind of Christian are you? Remember, we were done with Bible school, and my wife and I had lost our first child. And we were hurting. And we were struggling. And we moved from New York, where we went to school. We came up to by Holton, where my wife's family was, because she needed her family. And I remember, we didn't feel like going to church. I know, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. But we were just at a point where we sat down, we just cried in a service. You know, we didn't want people to always come and say, well, how you doing, how you doing, how you doing? Because after a while, you become defined by your hurt. And we weren't ready there. And my wife went to one of the grocery stores, and one of the ladies came up to her and said, oh, we haven't seen you in church. And she says, well, we haven't been going. And she goes, what kind of Christians are you? You know, you guys went to Bible school, you studied for the ministry, and you're not even going to church. And she just railed my wife up and down. She came home in tears. That's not what Christianity is about. And actually, the Lord sent a couple along our way, and you know what they did? They just loved us. They didn't judge us. They weren't hateful. They weren't critical. They just loved us. And you know what that did? That allowed us to heal. And I realized along the way that, you know what? If it was up to me to keep my Christianity, I would have lost it a long time ago. And I love this verse here in chapter 5. It says, but he is the one who keeps me. He keeps me. Now, don't get me wrong. As I'm walking along, I need to hang on to the Lord's hand. But you know what? He hangs on to mine. That even though I walk away, even though I pull away, he draws me in. I think I've used this illustration before, but you guys all understand this. You've all must have walked across the parking lot with a little toddler, right? You tell the toddler, hang on. You've all seen the fight, right? Hang on to my hand. I don't want to. Hang on to my hand. I don't want to. Hang on. You know? So you're hanging on. They're hanging on to your hand. They're hanging on to mine, and you're walking across the parking lot, and, you know, some pigeon flies by, and all of a sudden the kid's like, I want to go off. And they let go. Right? That's what kids do. But you know what? The child's safe because not only were they hanging on to you, but you were hanging on to them. Right? And my child was safe because I didn't rely on them to hang on to me. I was hanging on to them. How much greater do you think our God hangs on to us? You know, when I get too big for my britches, when I think I've got it all figured out, when I think I don't need him anymore, I want my way, and I'm going to have my little hissy fit, and I'm going to go this way, or I get distracted by something. Folks, do not be deceived. God never lets go. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready revealed in the last time. Jude tells us this in verse 24. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is able to keep you from falling. He has his hand on you. And until that day, when my faith now becomes sight, when this struggle is done and I see my Jesus face to face and he says, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. That day is going to come. As we look at the idea of salvation, there's really kind of three phases. The first one is that justification. When you accept Christ as your Savior, believe he died on the cross for your sins. He justifies you. He makes it just as if you've never sinned. He's taken away that sin. And he's giving you righteousness. Then now that I'm saved, I'm declared righteous by God. Then he works on this process called sanctification. It sounds a real fancy term. But that sanctification means God's working in me to make me more like him. He starts polishing off the edges. He starts dropping off the sin in my life, the things that hold me back. And he works in me. And you know what? He works and works and works. Until finally that one day, because while I'm living and while I'm breathing, I'm going to falter, I'm going to fail, but he's still working on me. Did you guys ever sing that little song in Sunday school? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. How do you guys know that song? Took him just a week to make the moon and stars. I'm singing on the radio, Mom. Sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient me must be, because he's still working on me. You know, that's a kid's song, but that is a powerful message. He's working in me. And while I'm living and breathing, I am dragging around this old flesh. And I fail and I falter. But praise God, he picks me up because he's got me. He holds my hand. And through all of this, through that justification of declaring me righteous, to that sanctification, then finally we get to that last phase, and that's glorification. We'll get a glorified body. That's where there's no more sorrow and no more sickness, no more aches and no more pains, no more death, no more goodbyes. That I'll be transformed. I will be able to sing on key. Woo! Think about it.
All right.
Think about it. That glorification. I think we yearn for that. We look at this world, we yearn for a perfect world, and that is not going to come until Christ comes. But folks, check your calendar, because I believe it's coming soon. You know, every week I've been talking about this. Take a look at the end of the book. Boys, we're almost like living through the pages of Revelation right now. And I can't say this is it, but it sure looks that way for my house. But if not, Lord, help me be faithful until that glorious day when I cross that finish line and I wrap my arms around Jesus and he says, "Welcome home." What a blessed hope we have. All glory to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But all these things he's given us, he's given you. Let's praise his name. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you for the inheritance you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the treasures that are laid up, stored for us in heaven. Lord, we thank you that you keep us, Lord, by your power and by your grace. Lord, I may falter and I may fail, but you never let me go. And Lord, you're working on drawing me back. Lord, I believe there's people here this morning. Lord, you've been drawing them. You've been coaxing them. And Lord, they've been yielding. They're here this morning because they've heard your voice. Lord, don't let them fail now. Lord, work in us that sanctification, that cleansing of this world and of sin. Until that day, we get to be home with you. And Lord, we can kick our feet up and rest in the glory that is you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.